Great. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's Lord, it's such a grand privilege. Lord, how our heart rejoices. Father, an opportunity to come and to gather together. Lord, knowing that you're going to speak to us. Lord, you're going to reveal yourself to us in a greater way. Lord, placing our feet on the path of righteousness. Father, help us, each and every one. Lord, look in our hearts. You know what we need. So, Lord, we just lean on you, Father. Have your way. Bless the few songs you've laid on our hearts, Lord, that clear our hearts, our minds, Father. Father, may we be open and receptive to your word when it comes. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to turn in our capstone books, if you would, with me. Amen. Page 9. God delivers. Glad he delivered me, saints. Standing there at the Red Sea, God's people began to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army would take us in bondage again. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, Moses did cry. Then God parted the waters and they crossed. Amen. Oh, God delivers again. Victory ahead. Yes. Truly see the victory, saints.
Yes.
When the host of Israel, led by God, round the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith they saw the victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By
by faith I see the victory ahead. David with the shepherd's sling and five stones met the giant on the field all alone. Trusting in the Lord, he knew what God had said. By faith he saw that victory.
Oh, hallelujah.
Victory ahead. Victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus. Victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord. I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see that victory. Daniel prayed unto the Lord thrice each day. Then unto the lion's den led the way. Trusting in the Lord, he did not fear or dread. By faith he saw that victory.
Oh Lord,
victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see that victory ahead. Often with the carnal mind I was tried, asking for deliverance, oft I cried. Trusting in the Lord, I reckoned I was dead. By faith I saw the victory.
Amen.
Oh, victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead.
Hallelujah. Do you see the victory? Amen. Victory in Jesus. Amen. Page 86. Same books there. He set me free. Amen. Sing with all your heart, saints.
Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, he set me free. Yes,
hallelujah.
Oh, he broke bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he said,
amen.
Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted.
Oh, hallelujah.
And glory to God.
Oh, his mercy and grace.
Oh, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound.
Amen.
For glory to God, he said. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, he set me free. Yes, he said.
Oh, I'm so thankful. Hallelujah.
A prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God.
Oh, That's true. Sing it again.
Oh, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so thankful he set me free, saints. Mercy and his grace. Amen. Love him so much. Amen. Brother Hamilton, you'd like to come out.
Praise his name.
All saints. Amen. That's the blessing, if you will.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, I want to see him.
Yes.
Oh, what he's done for us, saints. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, oh, my last, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, oh, my last, ever to rejoice. Amen. Praise his name. How many have something on your heart you'd like to take before him? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Josh, would you take the request? Oh, yes, Lord.
Lord, you placed it there, Lord, that we may praise your wonderful name, for be thankful for what you've done for us, Lord. And think back of where we was and where we are, Lord, as your mighty grace and your mercy, Lord, in our lives. Lord, as we come tonight, we will raise our hands, Lord, signifying the need. Lord, only you know what's behind each hand and what's behind each heart. Lord, we ask you to meet them.
May be seated. Amen. Do you have a song tonight, Karen? All right, does anybody else have a song? Josh, you got something? Yeah, they.
Of course, the Holy Ghost will set your feet dancing.
Yeah. I don't think we got it written down. We can try it. The Holy Ghost will set.
Set your feet to dancing. The Holy Ghost will send you feeling through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. And think of God dancing too.
Amen.
Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost will fill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing and fill your heart with dancing too.
Amen. Praise his name. Truly he will, saints.
Yes.
Amen. The joy of your salvation.
Yes.
Revelation burning in your heart.
Yes.
Amen. Let's stand together, if you will. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe, and ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, as we've come once more together underneath the precious anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and to humble ourselves before you and to open up our hearts, Lord, and just ask that these few words that you've laid upon my heart to renew our minds to this evening, that, Lord, maybe it'll help someone, strengthen them, encourage them. Lord, you know what's needed in our lives. And Lord, as I speak to others, Lord, may I also apply it to my life, Lord, and that it would be truly you getting more preeminence of our lives, Lord, and us truly being in tune with you and walking in the Spirit, Lord. And Father, we just ask your blessings upon your word now in our hearts to the hearing, and we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. If you'd like to, we'll turn our Bibles to Philippians, the second chapter. Just a little exhortation. It's been on my heart and just thinking about these things. And just thought, as we just go back and reminisce a little bit through the scriptures. Yes. Amen. It's always good. It's God's word. It's not my word. But we just renew our minds to the things that's been spoken unto us to be lived by. Amen. Yes. Amen. But in Philippians 2, we'll just start there at the 5th verse, Paul speaking here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also hath highly exalted him, and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. A lot of different ways you can take that little verse, but I would just like to focus a little bit on humility and humbleness tonight as we look at how great our God is and look at all he's done. And when you stop to think of the examples that he left for us while he was here and how his life was lived, and you can go back in the scriptures, and we'll look back in a moment at men that found that humility and walked humbly before their God. As Micah 6:8 says, what does the Lord love? But to walk humbly before him. Yes. And to love. And so as we think about that, and as we go through life, human nature, you know, Brother Brandon preached a message, Doors in a Door, and in there he was showing us how that little door of pride lies in the human heart. And how if it's not under the control of the Holy Spirit, how that thing rises up. And you may get up puffed up in yourself and begin to think you're something. And you know, as we, it's very much human nature. As you see men with great achievements, they begin to achieve great success in life. Maybe they're a great sculptor, a great painter, might be a great builder. As they go through life, maybe they begin to get puffed up. Their name gets on the billboards and their name's pushed out there. And they might be the great all-knowing one of that certain thing that they're working on in the natural. And how sometimes you, and I'm sure each one of you have come in contact with people like that, that you can't tell them anything. They've got themselves on such a pedestal that you can't even get penetrate to them with an idea or something to help them along the way, maybe. Sure. And we've experienced that. But it's also to be careful that as we, as individuals, don't puff ourselves up thinking maybe we're a little better than someone else. Right. And begin to lose compassion for someone or forget where maybe God brought us from and where we've been. And you know, as I think, as our Lord left us a great example, and I want you to think about this. Just turn with me to John, the second chapter, if you would. I'm sorry, it's John, the 13th chapter, book of John, the 13th. And this is where Jesus began to wash the disciples' feet. But I just want you to think about this as we read this. Jesus, knowing at this time and all that he had done, the many miracles that had been performed and all God had done through him, he knew who he was. He knew why he had been sent. And knowing that as a man, he was going to go to that cross. And sitting here was Judas,
who he knew was going to betray him. And one of the disciples, sitting here still with him, and knowing what was in Judas's heart, and knowing how Judas truly felt about him. And I think many times how the prophet even said, when people would pass by and say, "God bless you, Brother Branham," or say nice things to him. And he, I think it was one place he made the comment, he said, "But I can see, I know how they really feel." And you know, that's how God's setting here is this example. Even though he knew what was taking place, he still knelt down and washed every one of these disciples' feet. And just, let's just read it as just as an example. And he says this, the 13th and the second chapter. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. And he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girdeth himself. And after he had poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. And then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know there hereafter. And Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean ever with, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. And therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. But so after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. For verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, and neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. But if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." And you know, just think about the humility that he had. And as he walked along, and you just see the mercy that he shared and the compassion that he had, and how you can see that down through the examples of the disciples' life from here moving forward after the Holy Ghost come upon them. And how Paul, being that great example that he was able to write the things that he did about humility. And you know, in Acts the 20th chapter, if you want to turn with me, just to, as Paul put this here, and realizing how Paul, and that great man that he was, and all that he knew, and his station in life, and God struck him down, and he realized how little he was, and just how insignificant he was. And then he come to this place, that here in the 19th verse, it's just the way he put it. And we'll just pick up about the 16th verse just to catch it. He was traveling, Acts 20 and 16. He says, "For Paul had determined to sail from Ephesus, and because he would not spend time in Asia, for as he hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And for Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I come into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait for the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house." But I want you to look at his testimony, that he was able to say, I've served the Lord with all humility of mind, totally esteeming himself lower than anyone. In many places, there's many different scriptures that Paul quoted different things where he knew. He said, "I being the least of these," in different places. And if you will, let's go here to Romans, the 12th chapter, and just start to read some of these things Paul wrote to us as an example. And just let these things meditate in our hearts. You know, I just think about it as we go through our daily walks. We live in such a prideful age, and everybody's better than everybody else. And it's, I got this, this is mine. Everybody's got their own attitude with life. But how that can rub off sometimes. And we need to make sure and guard against the wiles of the devil, that we don't get in our own thinking and begin to think we're a little something more than we are. And maybe lift ourselves up to where maybe God's word just doesn't cut the crust the way that it should when it comes forth. Maybe there's something in my life God's wanting to show me. And maybe I've got myself lifted up just a little bit on that side enough that God's word just won't penetrate through to me. But Paul put it here, and we'll just catch the third verse here of Romans, the 12th chapter. And Paul's saying, "For I say through grace given unto me and to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And how true it is as we truly realize how great God is. What he's done for us, and by his mercy and grace, give us grace and revelation to understand where we come from and where we're going, and how we carry a very part of God himself within us. Yeah. And how that in itself should make us so humble and such a humility, such a state of lowliness of mind that God thought enough that he would dip down his hand and do the work that he's done for you and I. How would we ever begin to lift ourselves up and think we're something? You know, oftentimes we kind of, as young adults growing up, I know when I was younger, you know, you're kind of a bigger person at the time. You know what? Many people my height or my size, and being young, you kind of go through life with, and you kind of get that build up, you know, you'd be a little bit stronger, maybe being kind of athletic. And you kind of get that ability in your own mind that I can do this, I can do that. And you forget where that strength truly comes from. Yeah. You know, and many of us, as we grow up, we get jobs and we begin to work and we begin to do this, and I can do this and I can do that. But if it wasn't for the grace of God every day giving you the strength and the health and the breath in your body to do what we do, we would be nothing. And how true it is just to sit down and reflect just how little and insignificant we truly are. And to realize just how much we are truly dependent upon Jesus Christ each and every day of our lives and everything that we do and every place that we walk. Yes. And how it should truly, when I see what I truly deserved and I see the price that he paid for me and saw me in his mind before there was a moon or a star, and by the grace that's been showed to me as I travel through this life, the grace I should be able to show to others. And the humility and the compassion I should be able to show to others. But, you know, sometimes it's maybe we just forget a little bit of what we truly, God has given us and what's been granted to us. You know, as we even grow in our jobs, you know, I can remember a time you know, it just seemed like you just couldn't hardly scrape two nickels together. And now you're getting a little older and maybe things are being paid down a little bit and you start to feel like, wow, and maybe your job is paying a little better. But oh, if it wasn't for God's mercy and grace, none of that would be there. And that's not a station in life. And how it's so easy, you see where money becomes the greater thing. The more we have, it seems like the more people want, and they forget. And then it's just to want to cram it in our pocket and hold on to it with all we got. And not give out unto others and forget what we may have been like at one point in time. And how you know, and I'm just talking as a just been on my heart. There's nothing I know of anybody needs money or anything like that, but just think about how is it in our heart to truly look on the things of others more than the things of ourselves? Is that desire truly there to reach out, to be of a help, to be of assistance to someone, and to truly to be understanding of maybe the situation they're in? And truly let God give the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us maybe in a way to help someone or to reach out and do something. You know, when you stop and think about the way it used to be years ago back in Pentecost, you would hear, you know, people were poor. We do live in an age of plenty. Time has changed. There's, you know, when you look around, you don't see people that what I consider are poor now. A lot of them, they choose to live the lifestyle they're living. But that still doesn't change. Some people just have had a lot of problems and can't get ahead. But I want you to look at how it shifted from the time maybe we were growing up and we were young, and some of you that are older than me, even farther back, of how hard it was, and even there people would pray and groceries be delivered to the table. Mm-hmm. We've come to a place where We don't worry about those things much anymore. We don't think about that. But what if the time is coming to when whatever happens as the time begins to wind down, maybe the money's no good, maybe it goes away. Would we be in such a place, in such a humble state? Would we be hoarding and trying to hold on while I'm going to keep this because it's bad times? Or would there still be that love in our heart, truly brotherly kindness, long-suffering, praying, Lord, do I have something my brother can need that I could give to him? Looking at taking all things into consideration, and truly am I truly mindful of others around me, or do I just go through life with blinders? As long as I've got what I need, that's all that matters. And I never stop to think that maybe somebody else needs something that I could give. And it might be a prayer. It might be a hand. It could be money. It don't matter. It comes in all kinds of things. Everyone has all kinds of different needs that may arise. Yes. A kind word sometimes goes a lot farther. A sign of encouragement or a pat on the back and say, I'm proud of you. I appreciate you. Thank you for what you've done. Or Lord bless you. Keep moving on. Pray for people and upholding them. But just thinking about these things in greater reality as we go on through life and as seeing all the world in its chaos and the changing times that are around us, may we truly stay in the mellowness and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I had mentioned this a few services ago, but Brother Branham had made this comment. I'm getting kind of lengthy. I'm going to have to. But this was in the message Influence. Paragraph 111, and you'll remember this. But just to think about it and keep it before us. Be conscious of your littleness, your nothing, and how I would like to dwell on that a few minutes. But you're nothing, and that sounds sacrilegious. It sounds crude, and I don't think the pulpit's any place for a minister to crack jokes. It's become a joking and a carrying on Hollywood glamour now, and that's what's the matter. Hollywood through television has took the pulpit over. And our women has bowed to the goddess of fashion of Hollywood long ago, and then the pulpit got into Hollywood through singers and so forth and talented men. And oh, how shrewd a man that devil is. You can't mix oil and water, it won't mix. Notice the great influence that people can give others, and what you do is an influence. And if you want to find out how great you are, put your finger down in a pool of water or a bucket of water, and then pull your finger out and try to find where you put your finger. You're nothing. God can do without you, and he can do without me, but we can't do without him. We've got to have him, for he is life, and he alone. Not to know his book, not to know this or know that, or know the creed, but to know him as life, and to know him as the person, Christ in you, the Word made flesh in you, that's knowing him. When he and you become one. Like I said last night in the Super Sign, he has got to come in you, and God and man must come one, and your conscience of your littleness. Mm-hmm. And oh, how, as I think about this, how we should truly always be mindful of that and let it truly ring in our hearts. And if nothing else, just praying that through the renewing of our minds to these things, that somehow it'll help someone, strengthen them, and maybe cause them to realize just how great God really is and what he's done for us. You know, a lot of people, you know, over the years we've seen it with, you know, people struggled to pay tithes or struggled because of an offering, you know, not wanting to pay it. But they just don't realize what God's done for them. Yes, and that by keeping his word, everything I have belongs to him. Yes, and none of it's mine. Yes, I go to work every day, but it's him that's given me the strength to earn any penny that I have. And how we sometimes may forget those things. We may forget where our strength truly comes from and our help truly comes from. The ability to think, you know, you see so many people. Then you look and you see them maybe in a wheelchair, or maybe they got a mental handicap, or they've been injured some way and they just can't carry on life in a normal fashion. And maybe you got two good legs and maybe you got an ache or a pain, but how thankful we ought to be for every breath of life, for everything God does, for every day that I can rise and still have the be able to lift my hand to praise him, open up my voice and maybe sing to him, or just a prayer to be able to pray how great it is for what he's done for us and doing in our lives, and how we should thank him every day for it. Here in, let's turn to Peter and just catch what Peter was saying here. Is all of these precious men were writing these things that God laid on their heart to say. 1 Peter 5. It's just all through the Scriptures, saints. It's everywhere. You want of walking humbly and being humble and of a humble and a contrite spirit. But Peter put it this way in the fifth verse. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. 1 Peter, the fifth chapter and fifth verse. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. And oh, what a joy it brings knowing that I don't have to worry to go through this life with my own merits or what I can do and what I can accomplish. But I go through this life by his mercy and grace, doing every day what it takes to sustain life, that through it all I may be able to glorify and praise his wonderful name. That through everything that I do, he is being glorified. So Paul put it like this in Colossians, the third chapter. If you want to turn there, you can. It's Colossians 3 in the 12th verse. And Paul writing, he said, put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies and kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And what a great lesson, as I said, our Lord has left us many times. Even while they was hanging him on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes. How great it should be for us to be able to extend forgiveness very quickly to someone that may be trying to hurt you, maybe saying things against you that's just maybe... when you're persecuted and they do all manner of evil, love thy enemy. And oh, how we should be able to be quick to forgive and to think of the example that the Lord left us.
Yes, amen.
Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God and the Father by him. And how it's all for his glory. We're sent here not for ourselves, but for our lives to be a true example of what the Holy Spirit would take and take control of this human nature, the human flesh, and truly bring it under subjection to God's precious word, and to truly see that life made manifest in a living reality through a many-membered body, and to see God glorified. And oh, when you think of these great men, as you go back through the Scriptures and you see the many times God used him. So I said, think of Paul and all the mighty things God did through his life. But he never once was lifted up in himself to think that he accomplished that. But he kept constantly showing where God was in control. God was doing the work. God was doing everything that was happening. And I got, I think I got James, the fourth chapter, written down here. Let's read that real quick, and then maybe we'll go back in the Old Testament for a moment. James, the fourth chapter. Amen. A little bit slow this evening, but just pray this, read these scriptures, let them sink into our hearts, and just ask God to let them blend in our heart. Amen. I'll find it here. James, the fourth chapter, and it's the fourth verse, and looks like I got the tenth verse. Fourth chapter, tenth verse, James. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So just think of humbling ourselves down, which changes our attitude on a lot of things. And you know, being a young person one time, I passed judgment on a minister on an action he was having. And as you get older, you learn things. You know, this minister was preaching, and I don't know whether he meant to do it, but, and I had mentioned this to our pastor many years ago. And so, but when this brother was preaching, every now and then he'd take his glasses off and he'd stare out at the congregation. And it was almost, it kind of looked like a show almost. And I'd made comment that it just seemed like it was a little bit put on. Well, as you get a little bit older and your eyes begin to fail, and as I've realized, you know, I am what they call farsighted, so I can't see far away, but I can see up close. So when I get up here preaching, a lot of times you see me take my glasses off because I can read better without them. Well, if that brother was nearsighted, he might have been taking his glasses off so he could see the congregation. But you know, in myself as a person, I pass judgment on that. And this brother may have been totally innocent. But I just use that as an example to show you how quick we can judge a situation, and maybe it's not the way it appeared. And so that's a simple thing. And you know, it's funny how things happen in life, and then years later, things come back to your memory of things you may have said or done. And you think, I thought, Lord, well, forgive me, because maybe that brother maybe there was truly something wrong with his eyes, and he wanted to see the congregation. And so sometimes, you know, we're a human nature. It's so easy to just automatically assume in my situation and the way I am and the way I think, this is exactly how it's going to work or the way it's got to be. But you know, God has a way of teaching us all little bitty things by little bitty of examples how to be more like Him. Amen. Yes, for sure. And I pray, Lord, let us follow You into all things. And you know, as you think about that, and Paul, as he got done with Colossians 3, I apologize, I kind of skipped over that a little bit. I had looked up in the Strong's Concordance that humbleness of mind, and was just reading some different passages on that. But just to think about it, and they likened it just to use the word humble instead of humbleness. But it says, the having the humble opinion of oneself, a deep sense of one's moral littleness. And to think about all the scriptures, and then all the things the prophet said, and how many times he said to remember how little you are. Remember, he kept mentioning that. Remember how little you are. Be conscious, be humble, be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and look at what God's doing. And modesty and humility and lowliness of mind. And may we truly keep those things in our heart every day with every situation. Maybe it'll give us a little more grace for a brother, maybe a little more grace for a sister. If we truly stop and try to put ourselves in their shoes. You know, it's easy when life is so easy for some of us. You know, everybody's got different walks, different men have jobs, women raising the children at home. We're all facing different situations. But sometimes it's easy to go through life, maybe as a man, and forget that I got a family, forget that my children have needs, and I get focused on what I want in life, what I'm looking for, when I'm supposed to be last. God comes first, family comes second, and I come last. And how we, each of us, as we go through that, if we would look more on the things of others, and that's what I'm saying, that's not necessarily your brother way out there. Maybe it's me looking more on the things of my wife looking more on the things of myself, me looking on the things of my children, the children looking on the things maybe the parents have need of. Each of us, sometimes we get so focused to maybe trying to show do things that are way out here, when the little things we need to do are right here at our feet.
Yes, amen.
And how we need to be mindful of what the Holy Spirit would be trying to show us. And God's word comes every time on point. And it's dealing with my heart. It's dealing with your heart. Let us yield to that. And you know, Moses, I quoted this the other night in my prayer, but if you want to turn to Exodus 33 with me. And you know, when you think of Moses, how he trained and all he could have had, and he threw it all away for God's purpose. And he went down into Egypt, and then God began to use him into all the things that he did. That God used him to call the flies, to speak these things, the different plagues that happened, and then to come up through that desert and to spread that staff out over the water and to see those waters part, and all the many things that happened. And to see him go up on the mountain and come down with the Ten Commandments. And what a great time that he had with the Lord. And to see the fellowship that they had. and to realize just how in himself he could have been lifted up. And really, but I like how he put it here, that if you start in Exodus 33 and about, start about the 11th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And you know, you got to stop to think about that. We don't hear God speak to us with an audible voice. But think of Moses in his position speaking to the creator of the heavens and the earth like this right here. He was speaking to a voice and God was speaking back to him. And the man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said to the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. Thou hast not let me, he says, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. And Moses said, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up. And I want you to look at Moses as he was realizing all that God had done for him. And in his heart, he said, Lord, if I found grace, and I said, consider, he says, show me now thy way that I may know them if I found grace in thy sight. Look at the humility that was in his heart. Still, Lord, show me your way. Show me, Lord, what you would have. But then to go on, and he says, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? And so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And how grateful we should be today if we see that we have been a recipient of that mercy. And how great it is to be able to realize what God's bestowed upon me and what I have waiting for me just a few short days away. How great it is to be able to just say, here's the sidewalk, you can have it. You want something down here, you can have it. It's not mine, it's only borrowed, I'm only here for a while. I'm just passing through. But oftentimes do we really stop and remember that we're just passing through. Yes. And that this is just borrowed, is just temporal, and it's all going to pass away. Yes. And how quickly it goes. But oh my, what a day is coming. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But here in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This was preached June 4, 63. Brother Branham speaking. Paragraph 112. He says, but you know, he don't always come the way we think he should. He comes so humble. And the people has got it fixed such a way they want him to come. We walk over humility. And there is where you find God. Scientists today can send a man into space, into orbit, and walk over a blade of grass that he knows nothing about. Oh, you've got to humble yourself to know God. You've got to get rid of your own ideas and just open up your heart and life to him. Then he will make himself known. And Lord, I pray every day, Lord, open up my heart. Take from me any idea, anything, the Lord, that I would hold on to that would hinder you from moving in my life, Lord, or taking me a higher rung in you, or to prevent me from seeing something in your precious word. Lord, take me higher on the precious Lord, and let me be realized that without you, I'm nothing. Yes. Without this full word and the life being lived through me, I am nothing. There's so many today all over the land that are caught up in so many fashions of religion, such a fashion of going to church, and I believe this and I believe that, and everybody's going through motions. But God said he was coming back for a little bride that was flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and her characteristics would be his characteristics, and her life would be a representation of his life. And how, that's what I want to see, not all the things that are happening around, but I want to look every day into God's precious word and to be able to see that I am a recipient of a life being lived. Yes. That's truly bearing forth out to others. That's bearing fruit and showing that he is living in me.
Amen.
And this is also in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. This was preached May 16th, 61, paragraph 39. And it's kind of along the same lines as he says. He says, but you see, God doesn't do things the way he never did do it. He never will. He comes and takes the dumb things of the world and makes something out of it and proves himself to fulfill his word. Search the scriptures and find out if that isn't true. He takes something that's insignificant. When he called his apostle, what did he take? Fishermen and uneducated people. Why didn't he take the cultured? Why didn't he take the priest? They had ministers of that day that would far exceed anything that we ever had. They had to come out of the lineage of the Levites to be priests. Their great-great-great-great-grandfathers was priest. And why didn't he go to that type? But see, he takes something that was nothing to prove that he is God. That he can make something out of nothing.
Yes.
And as quick as soon as you and I realize that we're nothing, that's how quick God can go to work with us. And when we get to our intellectual conceptions out of it and just say, God, I believe, help thou my unbelief. That's it. The word says so. And then it's true. God's behind his word, and he is. He's in his word, and he is the word.
Yes,
and oh, how it just makes you want to lay open before him and say, Lord, I don't want none of my own ideas. I don't want no one's creed or any ideas that's been passed down through time. But Lord, I want to lay in the presence of that precious Son and just continue to ripen every day with the word, Lord, just laying before us. And you know how true it is that we should be very careful to make sure that with the word that we've been given and the books that we have, the Bibles we have laying, that we don't ever lift ourselves up into a place that I've got it all. I think of the place we come from and how the statement was made, we're just waiting on a rapture. That's all we're waiting on. And that is true. We're waiting for a rapture to take place. But the life has got to be lived through a people all yes. over this earth. The little bride has got to come to a full maturity yes. of every word being lived and made manifest.
Right.
And oh, when that time comes, wherever it's at, it might be here, might be somewhere over, who knows where. But oh, what a day it's going to be when that little bride is caught home.
Yes.
And oh, I'm looking for that day. But while I'm still here every day, I'm looking to make sure that that life is living. Because it could be in the morning, it could be yet tonight that it's going to take place. You know, I don't know if you saw it, but the scientists have jumped on the board and the St. Andrews vault is moving. And they're predicting by 2025, I think it was 2026 would be the last, that there will be a major catastrophe happen in that vault. And they're seeing it shape up. And when you look at the weather patterns, you know, you don't think much about it, but while we were in Florida, out in California, just a random wave come washing in on the beach and just like to wash a town off the map. And how these things happen at such a space and time. Just he said that catching away would be so sudden, so quick.
Yes.
And how things would begin to shape up. And do you stop and think that every moment, whatever you're doing every day, wherever you're walking, what you're looking at, what you're talking about, could be the last second, the last word you get to speak,
yes.
the last thought you get to think before time is no more.
Yes.
Oh, how careful we should be to make sure we're walking exactly the way God wants us to walk,
yes.
pleasing to him in everything that we do and say. But oh, may it just strike our hearts. You sisters can come to the instruments. In thinking about that, I'd like to read this psalm. It's Psalms 103. To just think about this. And if you think about this, just think about how little you are. Because without him, we're nothing.
Yes,
and it's only by his grace. As David's put it this way, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? And who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? And who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, and so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And as for a man, his days are as grass, and as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children, to such as to keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Oh, may we truly be found in that category. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to, let's stand with me if we could. What's that little chorus? As high as the heavens above. I can't get the title to come to me. Yeah. Can you help me start that? How great is the Father's love? Amen. About his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Sing it again. Amen. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through.
Thankful for his love for us.
Amen.
I think of all of his goodness many times through the week, many times through the day. I think about his goodness and his mercy and his grace, because I can see where I would have been without him. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Thankful for the words of encouragement. And, you know, as the scripture says, exhort one another daily, even more so as you see that day approaching. Forsake not to assemble ourselves together, and that's why we forsake not ourselves, assembling ourselves together, to make sure we get our nourishment and our encouragement, whatever it is we have need of. So I'm thankful to have been here tonight. Amen. And let's remember those in prayer that's sick and not feeling well and so forth. And don't forget about Sunday, Brother George being here, all those that may be listening in. Remember, he'll be here, Lord willing, this Sunday also. As long as the weather don't get too bad for us, but you know, I think he'll probably still make it through. He's a pretty good driver from what I hear. So pray God will bless him in his journey on the way up. Bless our services. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer and dismissal. Kind Heavenly Father, again, we appreciate that you give us these little opportunities to gather together. Thank you, Lord, that you laid these things on our brother's heart. And Father, give forth the effort and give him the strength, Lord, that he could bring forth the word of encouragement tonight. And we're so thankful for all these things you've provided for us and the many blessings in life. So as we part again from this little building now, we ask that you just keep your hand upon us, Lord, and keep us safe as we make our journeys to and fro our home, Lord. And Father, we're just waiting in expectation for Sunday. See what you have for us. May we come with open hearts and open minds, Lord, and praying and seeking you and asking you for revelation, asking for leadership and your guidance, Lord, through everything that's done. And Father, again, that through all of it, you'll get the glory and honor. So we appreciate you now, Father. We just thank you for all your blessings. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen. Keep on, as the old song is, keep on the firing line. Amen. May God bless you.